Hello and welcome to the Label Sessions Presents podcast. Label Sessions is the world's leading innovation expert network. In this series, you will meet some of the most interesting leaders anywhere, from across the worlds of business, design, tech, culture, and sustainability, all signed to the Label Sessions roster. To find out more about our work, helping brands and institutions around the world take on their big challenges for the future, head to labelsessions.com to find out more. For now, enjoy the podcast.
Rami, thank you so much for taking time to sit down and talk to me today. I really do appreciate it. We know you're someone who's key to financial regulation, but I feel like you can better explain your backstory and your sort of work and what gets you to this point.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So it's probably quite good for me to actually start with kind of what my career hasn't been. Really, before kind of getting to what it has been. It really has been a career which has not, you know, operated in one discipline, in one function with a particular specialism. It's not something that I've necessarily progressed in a linear fashion. Rather, it's been, you know, fairly broad and fairly interdisciplinary. And quite simply, my career has really been around kind of building new things for organizations and improving existing things to really drive tangible business benefit for organizations. And at the heart of it has really been a constant desire to really help change and transform organizations. So whether that be in strategy development or operational improvement or new technology builds, for example. So if I go kind of back in terms of like what my career has been, I knew when I first started out that I wanted to develop a career in management. I was quite sector agnostic when I left university, and I decided to really sort of target blended programs, which enabled me to build a variety of skills, and also to add my bachelor's degree was in business management, and then I did a master's degree in management economics and international relations. And that in particular was very, very interdisciplinary, and it's something that I'll probably touch upon a bit later. I ended up getting onto BT's graduate scheme, and my first role was actually leading a team of 25 field engineers at the age of 23 at the time. So everyone was older than me, so being introduced into management and managing, people who are highly experienced, really good at what they would do. When I had no background in it, that was a skill in itself, really, to get, you know, up to speed and exposed to what they do, to learn and actually then to be able to really add value in that. And it was actually during that time I became aware of a discipline called Lean and Six Sigma. And I was quite fascinated by it, particularly in terms of how it drives business improvement, process improvement. And I actually decided to pivot my career towards that discipline. I subsequently got my green belt in Lean and Six Sigma, and I joined AIG as a customer experience manager in a role which blended Lean and Six Sigma with actually a fairly new discipline at the time to the UK. So this was back in 2007 now. So a fairly new discipline called customer experience, which we now know as quite a mature discipline here. And I was there for 1 year. And the reason for that was the financial crash. And I subsequently joined Barclays as a customer experience manager in digital banking. So I spent 5 years at Barclays, received three promotions there, including roles leading retail strategy and heading up an operational excellence team as well. I subsequently got headhunted into HSBC to become the head of multi-channel for the UK commercial bank, leading the development of new and existing channels. And I then subsequently made a move to join KPMG in consulting. And I really felt that that was a real opportune time for me to not just work for one-to-one clients, really, but actually to work on a multi-client basis. So I really specialized in customer and digital, and actually working for challenger banks and startup banks and having established new banks into market. And then one of my KPMG colleagues at KPMG partner moved into Lloyds Banking Group and asked if I wanted to lead an internal strategy and transformation consulting function. So it was a great opportunity to take on a very high profile role, leading large scale digital data technology and regulatory change for the group. And after about 3.5-4 years, I really became more mature in my thinking in terms of where I wanted my career to go. And I was fascinated by the interrelationships between regulatory change and also digital data technology, the complexity surrounding that. And at the time, the FCA advertised the head of innovation role, which really encompassed all of those domains. And I thought, what a unique and great opportunity. I've been at the FCA for 3 years. I've recently left the FCA. And, you know, during that time, really got the opportunity to work with wonderful people to really expand the innovation agenda for the FCA in the market, including developing a new innovation strategy, securing sizable investment, leading the implementation of two IT platforms, strategic platforms for the group, and establishing five new service propositions, which resulted in that really significantly expanding the FCA's innovation agenda. However, you know, I realized probably around the 2.5-year mark that actually I had a real burning desire to go back into industry to really innovate from within. And again, to potentially work with multiple clients and to have greater impact in the market.
Brilliant. A really comprehensive overview of your career. That's why I was really excited to talk to you, actually, because one of the things that I always like to ask people, especially when they've had so many different roles and so many, quite a variety of different companies as well, really big, massive brands across the globe. Do you see these as individual sort of eras or more of a accumulation of all your experience combined to build you up to where you are today?
It's a really good question. I think for me, it's definitely a sense of the accumulation of that experience, right, in terms of, what have I learned from previous experiences that I can build in? You know, lessons learned. Perhaps I could do things differently as a result of previous experiences. And actually, I think there is a real skill and art in terms of, you know, can you operate in a new environment, get up to speed very quickly, demonstrate to stakeholders that you've got that credibility to do so and run with something. And actually, you then end up naturally building a skill set, a toolkit, you know, sets of frameworks, not necessarily in a rigid way, but actually, you know, I've done something similar like this in the past. I could potentially do it that way, albeit it's a different environment, so therefore it does need to be tailored, etc. But actually, really being in that fortunate position to go, I've worked, you know, with multiple people in multiple organizations, having worked on things like this before. And actually, there's a real added benefit to that, bringing that outside-in thinking into organizations. And I've typically found that organizations have really valued that. And I do think that needs to be balanced as well and mixed. When we think about kind of, organizations, organizational design, the makeup, the structure, you really do need that mix and balance of the two. You can't, you know, have organizations stacked with, you know, people who are, you know, always from the outside coming in, but actually it's that mix of the two and that blend of working with true SMEs who really understand the core, what's going on at a very deep level.
And continuing the sort of theme of having several different caps on and having different sort of mindsets, how did you find the sort of jump between your role previously within the industry to in a regulatory stance? And was there a big difference in how you approached your day-to-day when you're going from working within these businesses, like I say, to regulating them and potentially working up to them externally?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think for me, certainly moving between different organizations in the private sector, there was, I would say, more similarities in terms of the setup, structures, etc. And I've also been in the fortunate position of having worked with people who I've worked with at previous organizations as well, which is great just in terms of that networking and that new networking building that you're doing, particularly when you're joining organizations. I think particularly in the regulator, it's such a unique type of organization for what it does. That, you know, you're, unless it's another regulatory body, it's very difficult to find that type of organization and that environment, and such a privilege to carry, you know, a mandate for an entire industry. You know, how many organizations can say that? So I think that in itself does. I think the range of stakeholder interactions that you have, for me anyway, in terms of personal experience, when I compare private sector to public sector, in public sector has been far broader mix in terms of, you know, stakeholder engagement across fintechs, incumbent banks, trade associations, governmental bodies, academia. The list kind of goes on and on. You know, I'm not doing it justice in that way. International regulators would be another. So it is a far broader, more complex stakeholder mix, and that's a skill in itself to have, and what an experience as well to have in terms of having interacted with so many, and that becomes part of your network as you move forward as well.
Talking about what's next for you and what's sort of current for you right now that you're going back into the sort of realm of industry, what is it that's exciting you most right now in this field? And do you think there are opportunities emerging or challenges that are important for the work that you do?
Yeah, I think for me, I'm really excited by this next chapter, really to kind of pivot towards operating and advising, you know, potentially, you know, multiple clients, not just one, working actually with others to really create impact, working collaboratively. So particularly in terms of, you know, areas such as strategy development, operating model design, creating a healthy culture and high-performing teams, advising on transformation programs, you know, business model development, customer-centric design, both in, you know, large institutions, but also, you know, in smaller ones. And that's kind of the balance that I'm retaining at the moment.
When it comes to the sort of field they're in of like sort of strategy development and so on, what are some important customer trends in your field or things that you feel like your like colleagues or fellow sort of cohorts will be excited about?
So I think there's probably a number of things that, you know, in terms of what's impacting, you know, the market, what's impacting customers. I think we're certainly seeing, you know, increased digitalization is really evolving at pace. You know, we've seen, for example, the developments in the generative AI space, the potential that has in terms of hyper-personalization for products and services to meet customer needs. Potentially that gives, you know, a real good strategic opportunity for organizations to go to the next level when it comes to enhancing their duty of care to customers aligned to, you know, regulations like new consumer duty, for example. You know, also how open APIs through open finance can really be used to help take open banking to the next level, and crucially in terms of new and emerging opportunities, you know, thinking about things like, and there's still a way to go on things like this, like, you know, transition to net zero, and how do we actually truly pivot to a more sustainable long-term green-based economy. And I think also with those things, we'll see a number of these areas really converge, and also not just converge, but also in many instances, also conflict at times as well. So that will need to be worked through. You know, a good example of that would be the adverse impacts that increased computing power, for example, in the areas of cloud and AI, are having on our achievements to getting towards a net zero economy.
And you've definitely given us a little bit of insight into sort of your leadership strategy and your sort of leadership style. But I'd love to delve a little bit more into you as a leader and what it is that makes you tick necessarily.
I tend to look at things quite philosophically, I guess, if I go a bit deeper on this. But, you know, in that nothing is permanent. Everything is temporary, you know. So for me, in my today, it's about, you know, what is the impact that I can have, and how does that impact tomorrow, and how can I work with others to create that impact? And I think for me, it's not just about looking in terms of from a work perspective, but it's certainly, you know, more holistic than that, and has become increasingly more holistic than that, and recognizing that, particularly when I think about, you know, personal health, relationships, family. So I think if I kind of go back onto the work from a work perspective, I think for me that impact means, you know, leaving something in a better state than what you've actually found it in, or what you've inherited. And I think for me that really means taking that personal responsibility, that accountability, and that ownership to take things forward and to see things through, from strategy through to execution. Far too often we do see, you know, you can get organizations who are you know, very good at the strategy piece, but you know, you don't necessarily see that following through in terms of execution, and crucially into benefits realization and outcomes achieved. And I think that is really, really important when you think about how do you leave things in a better state than what you found them in, or what you inherited. So that for me kind of guides a lot of how I tend to operate. And I think from a leadership style perspective, there's probably a number of things which come to mind. I think the first is in terms of I like to be, you know, very much focused on the strategic agenda. So you know, my leadership style is very much strategic. It's collaborative. Authentic and also inclusive. So, you know, if I kind of step through each of those, you know, it's strategic in that I do like to set, you know, clear vision and strategic direction, and work with others to do that in a collaborative style. Providing, you know, opportunities and an environment for people to feel that they have autonomy and genuinely have that autonomy to create and think for themselves, and also to challenge the status quo, to challenge what that framework might look like as well. Really, I think to help them get to the next level in terms of their development and their leadership capabilities as well. It is collaborative in terms of I really like to work with others to workshop ideas to shape you know, our future path and co-design solutions. And I think that's become increasingly important, you know, probably even over the last sort of 5 years or so, more so than ever before. I think leaders are feeling that more acutely, in that the world is becoming more complex, business problems are becoming more complex to solve. It's not about one person. I know we spoke about it at the beginning about, you know, wearing multiple hats, yes, but one person can't carry that as well, right? So actually, how do you blend that with multidisciplinary skills, personalities, perspectives, to really co-create those solutions and drive that forward? And then you get better quality solutions, better quality outcomes and benefits as a result. I think for me, you know, authenticity is something which has you know, certainly developed, you know, over time. It hasn't been something which has naturally come to me, but really sort of allowing my sort of personal natural interpersonal skills to really shine through in a work environment, and dare I say, you know, in those kind of corporate environments. And for me, I really like it when, you know, I can really get alongside people, really connect with them, and understand, you know, what their motivations are. And having a track record in coaching people to develop their careers through new opportunities and promotions as well. That has been really key for me. And lastly, inclusion. It's something that I am extremely passionate about, diversity and inclusion, and a real advocate for organizations really ensuring that it is, you know, a strategic priority. There's so much research out there, you know, in terms of organizations which are diverse in all sorts of ways, you know, has a positive correlation towards high-performing organizations and towards profitable organizations and shareholder value. And, you know, it really is up to those organizations to take that on and to drive that forward. And, you know, you have to sort of practice what you preach on that. I think for me, I'm really proud of the fact that, you know, in my last role as head of innovation, I really transformed my management team, which had a really good mix between, you know, particularly gender balance and ethnicity at, you know, a number of levels, my management structure and at various levels as well. And also building in crucially that succession planning in as well. So that's probably, you know, one of my, if not the most proudest thing that I have when it comes to, you know, that particular role, beyond expanding the agenda, et cetera, because that's where you have that long lasting impact on people's lives.
It's definitely something to be more than proud of. It's a fantastic sort of mission to have. And it's a really great sort of insight there to what makes you tick. And you're very sure of who you are as a leader now. But I'd love to go back to a little bit to your past and, you know, go back to Ravi when he was the graduate of BT. And what advice would you give that younger version of yourself?
Oh, that's a good question. I think it's almost kind of what you get taught from a young age, you know, in terms of, you know, you can go back further, you know, in terms of school. And you even get a sense that kids feel that pressure now as well, you know, identify a career path, you know, find out what you want to do. And, you know, ideally, you know, particularly more traditionally, if I go back when I was younger, identify that career path, you know, with one, you know, linear path in mind. And whether that's from, you know, the environment that you grow up in, you know, parental influence, whatever it might be, there's so many factors which build into that. And then, you know, you get to that point where you enter into the workplace and, you know, the classic question comes up on, you know, where do you see yourself in 3 to 5 years time? So what happens if you don't know, or what happens if, as we're experiencing, you know, the world is moving at such a fast rate? So it's a difficult, you know, question to answer for some, and it certainly was for me. So I would say to myself, you know, that, you know, rather than having that kind of, you know, linear career ladder in mind, and focus on, you know, job titles and things, you know, see your career, you know, as a pyramid, particularly in the kind of early to mid career, you know, and developing a broad set of skills. Secondly, I would say, you know, enjoy the moment of now. I don't think I've necessarily always done that, but enjoy the experiences that you have today, both in and outside of work, both the opportunities and the challenges, including those tough moments, including the deviations, perhaps, that you see. Those experiences will build, you know, character, perseverance, resilience. So really enjoy today, you know, enjoy those transitional moments, whether that be in, you know, your current role. You might, you know, be absolutely in your element. You might, you know, there might be enjoying a sidestep move, a lateral move, a career break, timeouts, promotions, you know, finding that joy in all of those things.
Again, fantastic advice. And I'd love that to kick us into a little bit more of the quickfire questions now then. Do you think your friends could explain what it is that you do?
Oh, that's a good question. probably not, no.
and if they could, what would you want them to say?
Probably something similar to what we've covered here, which is, you know, someone who, you know, works, it, you know, for, you know, different organizations over time, comes in, you know, understands the agenda, works with others to create impact, builds new things into organizations and improves existing things. Something along those lines.
And you've given some really great advice over the past sort of half hour or so. What is the best piece of advice that you yourself have ever been given?
Yeah, I think the best piece of advice, and one of my mentors, it kind of links to some of what we discussed before, which is, you know, let's just say if you do have a target in mind, you know, kind of seeing it as a bullseye on a dartboard, and you might have, you know, you have a goal, which is to get here, you know, the path to that. And I remember my mentor drawing it out for me when we met, you know, your path to it may go, you know, deviate here, may go off track here, you might get closer. And also that target then may change based on how your thinking changes regarding that goal. Maybe you force a reset to change that goal, etc. Because, you know what you know today, right? But actually that becomes different tomorrow. So how does that have an impact and change? And I thought that was a really good illustration of how dynamic we are in terms of our thought processes, our thinking, but also how the world is as well, right? So it kind of plays into what are the factors inside of your control and those which are outside of your control, which may, you know, create that environment which is quite dynamic, and how do you operate within that?
What is one thing that you could not live without?
One thing that I could not live without, I'd probably say at the moment is coffee, but it's been like that for years, you know. certainly the reliance on it, particularly at the moment, my youngest is just up at a ridiculous time in the morning, and I don't think the summers are helping with the light. But so today, for example, I've been up since 5 in the morning, but that's been, you know, every morning for the last while, and I think it's just the light. So coffee.
And then that brings us to our last question. That's the question we ask everybody. It's on the scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most. How weird are you, Ravi?
It is relative in that way. So I think, you know, I'm going to hedge on this one and go for a 5, because some people are going to, yeah, I think we all carry, you know, what is weird and what is normal, I guess, right? And actually it's down to the individual and is somewhat subjective. So I'm going to go for a 5.
Perfect. That's a great place to leave it for now, Ravi. Thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate it.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
As we close out another episode, make sure to like, subscribe, and follow us on our social channels. Want to access Label Sessions for your brand? Whether you want to build new products, access world-class mentors for your team, or reinvent the way you attract talent into your business, visit Label Sessions to find out more.